Well, today the church gives us one of the three principal parables about prayer in the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus, of course, is a master storyteller, and I love the way he sets this up, just thinking about the people who were listening to him. He says something that would be very likely. A Pharisee goes up to the temple to pray. And, you know, people in Jesus' time would have seen the Pharisees as good religious people. And so it makes sense that the Pharisee would go to the temple to pray. That seems very likely. But I can almost hear the crowd going, ooh, when Jesus gives the idea of a tax collector going to the temple to pray. There are probably a lot of Snickers in the crowd, too, and I don't mean the candy bars, but probably a lot of people laughing at that outrageous notion, a tax collector going to the temple to pray. That's for good religious people to do. Now, the Pharisee prays a rather nice prayer. He knows that he is not unjust or grasping or adulterous or despicable like the tax collector, that he lives a righteous life, he fasts, and he pays tithes. And so the Pharisee is not proud because he credits himself with all this, but he thanks God for his grace. Those were his first words in his prayer. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. But all the Pharisee's praise then is true. It's all true. But it's only a half-truth. And so the Pharisee is deluded. He is not dealing with reality. He has no self-knowledge, and that is the source of his pride. What I mean is that he distances himself, he sets himself apart from other sinners. Now, I'm sure nobody here has ever prayed like that or even thought like that. Like, oh, thank you, God, that I'm not like that crack addict. But, you know, are we so much better? At least the tax collector faces the truth that he is a wretched sinner and he is in need of God's mercy. The Pharisee does not even know that he's a sinner. So Jesus tells this parable, he is not condoning the sin of the tax collector, nor is he condemning the good works of the Pharisee. But he tells the parable to teach us how to pray, how to make a pure prayer, how to make an honest prayer. Because, as St. Augustine, one of the great fathers of the Western Church, said, we are beggars before God when we come to prayer. We are beggars before God. Each of us sin. Each of us is in need of God's mercy and salvation, just like everyone else. And if we're not honest about that, we will not reach God. What does the first reading say from the book of Sirach? The prayer of the humble pierces the clouds. St. Catherine of Siena, great doctor of the church of the 14th century, teaches us that when we pray, we must go to the cell of self-knowledge. We must dwell there in the cell of self-knowledge. In other words, we must face the truth that we are sinners. And we don't like to do that. More often, we like to think about how other people are sinners. Or if we are culpable of anything at all, we're not as guilty as other sinners are. So St. Catherine says we must dwell in the cell of self-knowledge, face the truth that no, we are sinners. But she also says that we should never dwell in the cell of self-knowledge, facing the truth that we are sinners, without at the same time remembering the wonderful love and mercy of Christ towards us anyway. The love and mercy that is shown to us on the cross. And that, church, is the prayer of the tax collector. He says, "Oh God, I'm a sinner. Be merciful to me." The only reason he's standing in the temple is because he knows that God is merciful, even though he is a sinner. And that is the whole substance of what tradition calls the Jesus Prayer, a prayer that is beloved in our Christian tradition for 2,000 years, especially beloved by Orthodox Christians. And it goes like this: Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I face the truth that I'm a sinner, but I remember the mercy of Jesus. And isn't that what we do every time we come to Mass at the beginning? The first thing we do after the presider greets us is we remember the mercies of Christ, praying that that mercy will be the source of the forgiveness of our sins and lead us to everlasting life. Because the only thing that will lead us to everlasting life is Christ's mercy. And when his disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, he included in there the fact that we must face the truth every time that we pray that we are sinners. Forgive us our trespasses. Even before we even allude to how others have sinned against us, first we confess the truth that we are sinners. Now, another problem with the prayer of the Pharisee is that it manifests a spiritual complacency. You see, when we make humility the foundation of our prayer, when we know ourselves well enough to know that we are sinners, only then will we be able to strive to become Christ men and Christ women. First, we must acknowledge the truth about ourselves if we're going to go anywhere and move forward in our spiritual life. The greatest saints were most conscious of their sins. When I was a senior in high school and reading Lives of the Saints for the first time, I was struck by something that ran throughout almost all their stories. Great figures like St. Francis of Assisi would weep over their sins. And I thought, what is that? These guys are saints. They don't have any sins to weep over. No, but in fact, the closer we get to God, the more we become aware that we are sinners. That is a necessary corollary. And so the attitude of the tax collector's prayer is what will keep us in the company of Christ. Because Christ said that he does not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And if we are going to experience Jesus as our Savior, we must know that we are in need of salvation. May his mercy be praised forever. Amen.